I don't know if I'm happy or sad that I opened this door. I don't know if you'll be happy or sad that I've opened this door. It's interesting, there are three or four categories, I suspect. And I don't know that I'll be able to answer absolutely every question, but let me give it a shot. Are you happy here? Do I look happy? Yes, I'm thoroughly happy here, at least on most days. And then there are days that I'm not happy, but I'm always feel fortunate to be here. And yes is a short answer to the question. I am imminently happy here, and I'm happy to be a UU minister. I'm happy to be your minister and your pastor, and I'm learning to accept that it's not always fun. Do I have a favorite hymn? Spirit of Life is my favorite hymn, and I fell in love with it when I did my internship at All Souls in Washington, D.C. And I wish each of you would have an opportunity to experience a UU service at All Souls Unitarian in Washington, D.C. on 16th Avenue. It's a service and an experience to congregation unlike any I have ever seen in the UU world. When Maggie and I were there, certainly my experience was, and as I talked to people who would come to visit, their experience was much the same. I believe, literally true, I was in tears each Sunday for the first 5 or 6 weeks. There was, at some point in each service, something would just make tears start rolling down my eyes. Sometimes it would be a song, sometimes it would be a reading, sometimes a prayer, sometimes it came during the service, but spirit is alive in that place. I would like to bring spirit alive here. I'd like us to have spirit in that way here. And I found often that it was Spirit of Life that they do in some version similar to what we do here that would inevitably just bring tears. And in an earlier training in my life, a teacher once said, don't interrupt people when they tear. They're in touch with their deep spirit. There are a couple other hymns that I like, one of which is really wonderful, and I can't see the name of it quickly off the top of my head, and I don't sing it very often because it goes on for 4 pages. Is it about building our world? We'll build a land. We'll build a land. I experienced that hymn during my student training, which was 15 hours a week in the Norwell, Massachusetts congregation. And it just spoke to what Unitarian Universalism is about for me. We'll build the land. And at some point, I'll ask your indulgence to sing this song that takes 10 minutes. What do you enjoy most about being a minister? I have said to people, mostly friends, long standing friends, friends who knew me before I was garbed and before I even went to seminary. They're dear friends because they know me in a very wide and deep way. I have told them that what I like most about being a minister is it's the first job I've ever had in my life where I get to use all of me. As an employee, you're expected to fill a role, and they inevitably have a track that's about that wide. You're not allowed to go there. This is your job. And as a consultant for so many years, I used to try to sell myself in services in order to get a contract. And they said, this is what we want you to do. And I said, oh, of course I can do that. Right? But we don't want you to do that. Right? And I'm doing the math in my head, 62, 61. 61, thank you, Maggie. And this is probably my fourth career. I've been in the public sector as an assistant to a city manager. I've been an HR director and labor relations manager for a collection of cities and towns, providing consultation and support for municipalities and helping to hire city managers and town managers and all that kind of stuff. And I've been in the corporate world as a human resource manager and as an internal organization development consultant. And I've had my own consulting practice where I did much the same. Did an awful lot of work with helping senior management teams function better and helping managers manage better. And I've done a lot of my own personal spirit development work. So I've had a wide array of experience. And I've navigated the world as a black man, which has required me to do a particular type of work and required me to have a particular level of understanding of how the world is. And so to have the opportunity, and let me say I've also gone to seminary, and significant amounts of training, and psychological assessments, and gotten feedback. Oh, did I have gotten feedback? And I've been told by colleagues and by the Ministerial Fellowship Committee, who credentials ministers in the Unitarian Universalist faith, what they thought I needed to do to be a better minister. I didn't always want to hear it. I say all that to you because I want you to get how important it is to be able to stand here and tell you that as a minister, I get to use all of me. My knowledge, my understanding, the pain I've been through, the issues I've addressed in my life and have helped other people address, my hopes and my visions. I get to use all of that here. And it's a unique honor, and I honor it. My background in Unitarian Universalism is not long. That's a question. Many of you may have heard the story. I grew up as a Baptist as a child. Let me say it differently. I went to a Baptist church as a child. And then I went to a Methodist church as a younger person. And I don't really remember learning much about being a Baptist, and I don't remember learning much about being a Methodist, but I had an absolute grand time in the youth program at the Methodist congregation in Schenectady, New York. Then I was largely unchurched. When family got together, we would go to typically a Black Baptist church or some other Black church. But for most of my life, I was unchurched, as they say. And when I went out to start my own consulting practice in 1986, I felt the need to have a deeper sense of connection with myself and to be able to hold myself better. So I felt I wanted to get some personal development. And as it turned out, I needed it. I'd be flying all over the country, going in and out of organizations, et cetera. And so I started studying with Jeff Kroc, who is on the list of maybe three or four most significant people in my life in terms of my learning. And through Life Energy Fundamentals, and I won't go into a whole lot about what that is at this point. Actually, I will, just a touch. Life Energy Fundamentals was about learning to recognize that energy exists, learn to recognize it in ourselves, and learn to shift it. And to learn to use energy to the benefit of whatever it was your attention was on. If your intention was to be in deeper relationship with a spouse or a child, how do you use your energy to do that? If you're creating a business, or trying to manifest a vision, a hope, an aspiration, how do you use energy to do that? In order to feel safe, how do you use energy to do that? I tell you that because that work is what got me in touch with spirit. That work is what got me in touch with, and I mean this quite literally, in touch with, an experience with the universe, the all, and how it all holds together, even in its very discordant ways and times. And I tell you that because that is what got me into the UU ministry. Maggie and I, when we started living together, decided we wanted to find a faith community, and we found the first parish of Stowe and Acton, Massachusetts. And I had done a eulogy for a friend of mine who had died of AIDS at a UU congregation in Schenectady, New York. Jeff and Reed, you'll know exactly which one and what it looks like. But that was really all I knew about Unitarian Universalism at that time. Maggie had had prior experience. And so we found this community, and it was wonderful. It was very clear that they were talking about something that I had tried to live all my life. It was a philosophy that I'd worked very hard to try to live. And that's what they were doing. And I had a hard time trying to understand, where's the religion, though? Coming out of a Baptist church, I was looking for religion in a church, in a parish. And I wasn't able quite to see where the religion was in what I thought was a wonderful philosophy. But I got involved with the congregation, and it pulled me in. They were a wonderful congregation. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer about 2 years after we started going to this congregation. And maybe maybe even less. Less. And the way they cared for me brought tears to my eyes. I did not expect them. They didn't really even know me. I don't even know if I was a member at the time. But that just cemented my connection to that congregation and to Unitarian Universalism. And I was, the minister wanted to introduce a small group ministry program. And I had been working with small group process all my life as an organization consultant. And he said, this is what we're trying to get done. And I said, that's not the best way to go about it. And I decided I should get involved with the planning and design of it, which I did. And we and several other people planned and designed over a year, year and a half, whatever, the small group ministry program. And we, as this planning group, were talking about, so what's the ministry part of small group ministry? And I said, oh my goodness, I have been ministering all my life. As a human resource manager, I was always trying to level the playing field. I was always trying to ensure that policies, in fact, were equitable. I was trying to always, as a consultant, how do you use people the best as opposed to just throw them away? How do you bring all of this together in a way that's holistic and works for everyone? And when I came home and told Maggie that, my Lord, I just had this experience where it hit me like a brick. I've been ministering all my life. And my dear one says to me, so? So, why don't you do this and get paid for it? And so that launched me into UU ministry. And so here I am. I'm not sure I'm reading this correctly, but it's in the territory, I think. Is love service universal, or is it selfishness? Yes. Through my energy work, it got clear to me at some point that if we love ourselves deeply and fully, and do what is in our heart's best interest, not our ego's best interest. Really, really important to make the distinction between those two. When we follow our ego needs, we're being selfish. When we follow our heart's desire, our deepest desire, we are being selfish, but that kind of selfishness feeds the world. That kind of selfishness, that kind of love of self, is love universal. How do you get over feeling, how do you get over someone hurting you? Often slowly, often with difficulty. You get over someone hurting you by acknowledging your humanity and theirs. Get over someone hurting you because you want to. Because you choose to connect and look for that which is brighter rather than to withdraw and be separate. If we're going to be connected, we have to accept that life has joys and it has pains. Otherwise, we might as well just stay in the closet, put on our helmets, fasten our seat belts, and hope there's no tornado. But how do you get over someone hurting you, I think, is really about this thing I was talking about in terms of love and connection, and seeking connection rather than separateness. It seems so challenging to go beyond my own denial and the culture to deeply do what I think needs to be done to care for our Earth. How do you work with this? With love and acceptance. Someone once said, and I don't even know who it is, I should go find out, if you have a vision that you can fulfill in this lifetime, it's too small. So the care for the Earth, I think, needs to be dealt with that attitude. It was here before we got here. In all likelihood, we'll be here after we are here. And we do our best. That's all. I almost went to a service at a Dutch Reformed church recently, but while waiting before it started, I read on the website that John Calvin was one of the spiritual fathers. I was upset reading this, knowing that John Calvin and Michael Servetus burned at the stake, and Michael Servetus was one of our founders. So I drove off and didn't go. Did I overreact? Yes. Life happens. And oh, so often it happens the way we'd like it not to. And if we were to recoil at everything that happened that we prefer not, back to that closet and the helmet and the... If the early UUs were fallen away Congregationals and Christians, did they believe Christ was God? What do Christian UUs believe regarding divinity of Christ? Probably one more thing than there are Christian UUs. There is no single belief. I suspect that everyone holds. And I think that's true in any and every single group of people. But I want to say a word about Christian UUs. They're important in our denomination, and they're very real and alive. Some Christians believe Jesus is divine, part of the Trinity. They're universalists. They're not Unitarians. And they belong and are a part of us and a part of our tradition, a very rich and important part of our tradition. Some Christian UUs believe Jesus is not divine, but they believe in a God. Some Christian UUs define themselves as Christian, not because they believe in a divine God, or may not even believe in a God that is an interventionist God, you know, the God that we keep in this little box of the interventionist God that sits in the rocking chair, a very small definition of God. Some Christian UUs define themselves as Christian because they believe in the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus, not the divinity of Jesus. I do not define myself as a Christian UU, but I lean in that direction because I believe in the message of Jesus. I believe in that universal love. I believe we need to care for the least of us in order to be the best of us. Then there are a number of questions about my time here and my view of us and all of that kind of stuff. Have you noticed during your time as minister of the UUFP whether the broader community is more aware of Unitarian Universalist Fellowship? And what is your vision of our UU involvement in the community? I don't have a sense that the larger community is more aware of our presence. But then I thought, I have met people who didn't know about this community, and I've let them know, so to at least that extent. But I have been amazed. Almost every place I go and I meet new people, they know about this place. They've been here for a concert, or they've done a wedding here, or. So we are known. I think, and my sense of us is that we are here, and our expectation is others will come to us. My vision for us is that we are here, others will come to us, and we will reach out. And from my vantage point, what I would like us to do more of is the reaching out. Do you have any ideas about how to get these existing members more involved in the activities and events held at the fellowship? The member turnout at events never fails to disappoint me. There are so many great things going on here, yet they're unattended. What do you think the reason for this is? Please do not say time. That's the question. That's in the question. And I share the notion that it's not ultimately about time. We all have the same 24 hours a day. And the issue is some of us use it in some ways and some of us use that 24 hours in other ways. And without intending to be harsh, I've come to the conclusion in life that if it's important enough, we get it done. I've got to conclude that there's something that is not sufficiently important here, which is why people don't come. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know the answer. But that's a supposition of mine. And it's a further supposition of mine that if you build it, they will come. And what I mean by that in this sense is that I do not have a sense of us having a mission, having a direction that we've all agreed to head in. I have a very strong sense of our presence, of us being here. And it's a sense of being here. I would like us to have a vision of why are we here? What will we do with this faith? What will we do with this community? How can we impact the larger community and bring Unitarian Universalist thoughts, beliefs, and values into the world? Which means going out, not merely being here. And I think, very bluntly, this is a problem for Unitarian Universalism across the entire country. Almost every congregation I go to is on a back street, out in the suburbs, and you gotta use GPS to find it. And then I look at large congregations, Baptist churches, they're in the middle of town. They're on the streets that have lots of people going by. They have, you know, wayside pulpits out on the... We need to be more visible. Would you give us a summary of the roles you see for yourself as minister? In order of importance. No. I've discovered this job of minister is just so big. It's so complicated. There's no way in the world for me to be able to really, quote unquote, prioritize. But I can tell you some things that I think are really critical and important. Not just of me, but of you ministers. I think our first job is to be authentic, to be as authentic as we can be. I believe our job is to model the importance of being authentic. The good of it and the bad of it. I am wholly human, and my dear wife will tell you, nowhere near perfect. So it's not about that. It's about accepting the truth of who I am, what I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly of it, and doing the best I can each and every day. I think that's the minister's most important job. And to encourage that in others. I believe it's the minister's job to cast a vision both for myself as minister and for the congregation that I serve and for Unitarian Universalism. I can't tell you the intricacy of the training we go through. And I think it would be a complete waste if we don't use that training, knowledge, and experience to connect our understanding of the history of Christianity, the history of religion, the history of Unitarian Universalism, what it has done, can do, is doing in the present, and can and should be doing in the future. My job as a UU minister is to live that continuum, the history, the present, and the future. That's what I believe my job is as a UU minister. And to ensure the future health of this faith community and our principles, and to help us all live into that. And to be a spiritual leader for this community, for the larger community, for the world. And to use my knowledge and experience to help us begin again in love and to move forward and take the next step. Whatever that next step is, the next step for us as individuals, the next step for us as a community, the next step for us as a faith community. And to love each and every one of you as best I can. I believe that's my job as the minister. Some of my best friends have left the fellowship recently. What are we doing about contacting them? Finding out how they are doing and why they left. It's my understanding the Committee on Ministry, which is responsible for the overall ministry and health of the congregation, is paying attention to this issue. I don't know if it's an issue that can, quote unquote, be resolved. I think we should understand why people come and why people leave. And we need to understand that each and every individual makes an individual choice to come, to stay, or to leave. I think we need to look at this and understand this in the larger context, that you can't please all the people all the time. Just is not doable as much as we would like to. We cannot be everything to everyone. And I wholly believe that each of us should have our spiritual needs met. If they're not met here, and you're a member here, and you're connected here, you should endeavor to get your spiritual needs met and your communal needs met. And if you find you can't, then you should find some place that will serve you. And as a spiritual community, we should be as open and welcome as we possibly can to all, as possible. As possible. And I will also tell you that the reality is that the dynamic of people coming and people leaving when new ministries begin is simply the way it is. New ministers come and people are attracted to that. New ministers come and people are not happy with that. Just the way it is. And we have to learn to live with that and do our best to support people and their spiritual needs and accept that we can only do our best. But do it with intentionality. One last thing I will say as we're stopping at noon here is I want us to gain some clarity about the difference between being friendly and being welcoming. We are very, very friendly. Everybody who comes here tells me that. Oh, this is a wonderful, friendly, warm place. And it is absolutely true. It's been my experience as well. We are not as welcoming as we are friendly. There is a difference. If someone who is a UU Christian comes in here and says they would believe in Jesus Christ, are we really ready to embrace them as one of our own? I would say we're not very embracing of that, which means we're not welcoming of that. If someone comes in and has a new and different idea, are they told, we don't do it that way here? That is not welcoming. So my hope for us is to become more welcoming, more accepting. In the political labor world, they talk about having a big tent. That's what we espouse. That's what we say we believe. My hope for us is to get better at living our beliefs, our values, our principles, rather than valuing the idea and the concept of them. I believe that's my ministry, whether I'm here or elsewhere. I believe my ministry is to help me, you, and us as Unitarian Universalists live our principles. To have the world experience these profound and important principles and beliefs. And we have to start doing that here at home. We have to be more embracing of each other, more encouraging of each other, more accepting of each other. And as you have read before, I say, bad breath and all. Namaste.